Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
There's a lot of nice people in the Republican Party. But the point of a political party is not to be nice, it's to represent the interests of its voters. That's the only reason political parties exist in the first place. There's no other reason to have them except to represent their own voters. Yet year after year, on issue after issue, the leadership of the Republican Party fails to represent its voters. And we're not guessing about that. We know what Republican voters care about. They tell pollsters all the time. It remains true, as of right now, that the priorities of the people who run the Republican Party are very different, in some cases completely different, from the priorities of the people who vote Republican.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On the Valley's Power Talk.
Trevor, it's great to be back on the show.
Why do I need to take it?
Well, I think you've added a ton of different questions, Trevor.
A healthy individual, 99.8% chance of not dying from it. Answer with fact and science why I need to take the vaccine.
You're manufacturing controversy and it doesn't exist. So I'm not going to play this game. So, Trevor, if you want to engage on this issue, and you're talking about facts and details, what exactly are you asking for?
Well, I'd ask him for the data. I'd ask him for the science of why I need to take the vaccine. He'd been in a Fresno Bee article that let him get away with saying Republican men are the ones that have the vaccine hesitancy standing in the way of us getting back to normal, right? Follow the science, but don't dare ask about it. That exact same state senator who I gave a lot of credit on this show because he asked Sacramento's top doctor, you know, think of it in this order, Fauci, Dr. Galley, Sacramento, Dr. Volrov, Fresno County. Senator Borges asked for the science from Dr. Galley back in November, October of last year. He asked for the data for why restaurants were closed. Thank you. That was a representative of we the people. And he was asking, why are our restaurants closed? Why can't people go eat at restaurants? Where's the science? Where's the data? Well, Dr. Galley stated he didn't have the science. Senator Borges booming in the media that he, and I quote, almost fell out of his chair, right?
So that's why I reached out to the governor and to Dr. Galley, the California Secretary of Health. And when I spoke with him the day before yesterday, he admitted in the conversation that we do not have that data. And I just about fell out of my chair and I said, what about all the capital investment that we've made as taxpayers into sourcing and tracing so we could better understand how the virus is being transmitted, also as a means of keeping our economy open and using smart ways of looking after public health and safety, but also looking after the economic welfare of our state.
Yeah, almost fell out of your chair when you found out what's the science. Well, that's what I was asking, the exact same question. What is the science for your push on the vaccine? You're a state senator. That's a question many of us have. And to quote Andreas.
You're manufacturing controversy and it doesn't exist. So I'm not going to play this game.
Oh, you're not going to play the game. Well, you're in the game. I guess you're in the game when on offense, right? On offense? Dr. Galley, where's the science? But you're not going to play in a game when you're on defense? That's kind of funny. That sounds like somebody who wants to score the points, but not defend his position. I guess that's Central Valley Republicans these days. Not all, but we have many. And we have many elected officials in this valley. And you know what they did? They all got together, and I'm glad that they did. San Joaquin Valley Sun, Alex Tablian writes, in rare showing, valley lawmakers ramp up pressure on Newsom. Now I left out the word drought. Ramp up drought pressure on Newsom. And I was, after hearing Senator Borges talk about what they're doing, which is a good thing. He explains a coalition. They're going to stand up against Governor Newsom. But on day 411, it just hit me like, why wouldn't they have done this about COVID? That's a bigger emergency.
What happened today, I think, is historic because I have never seen a coordinated effort between county, state, and federal officials. Today, we had four counties, maybe next week two more for a total of six, coordinate a declaration of emergency through our Central Valley, asking Governor Newsom to declare a statewide emergency based on our water metrics and our dire need. So that's what happened today. We had a bipartisan group of senators, assembly members, and all the chairpersons on the Board of Supervisors within those four counties of Madera, Fresno, Tulare, King, and including more next week, asked the governor, listen, we have an emergency, and we need your help, and we laid a plan forward on what that request for help is all about.
We've needed help over an emergency for 411 days. Again, I am glad that they're standing up for a water emergency, but we've had a constitutional emergency, an unconstitutional lockdown. And when I heard it all, I just was let's take that and apply just everything you just said and apply that to the COVID lockdown on day 408. Why would we wait? If all this coordinated effort happened between counties and Board of Supervisors and Republican and Democrat senators and assemblymen to make sure this emergency and to get the governor to change it. My word, the real emergency staring us in the face is this continued lockdown. That's the real emergency more than the drought. To almost everybody out there, the drought is the second emergency. We won't even get to that if we continue with this first emergency. Your response to that?
Well, I'm not certain that we're at loggerheads, Trevor.
Loggerhead.
We were at loggerhead. Yes, we were. It ended up a loggerhead conversation.
But from my standpoint, I think this is absolutely the right thing to do to get our economy back on track, to allow us a degree of normalcy. So I'm absolutely going to stand by that, and I will advocate for other folks that, if you're eligible to get the vaccine, I believe you should do so, because this is the way that we establish that degree of normalcy. And I believe that based on the science and data that I've been exposed to at the state level.
Say it again.
And I believe that based on the science and data that I've been exposed to at the state level, that it is reasonable as a course of action.
Reasonable to get a vaccine, experimental vaccine for a virus, 99.8, will not be affected, will not die from, as we've seen. And, it continued. Why do I need to take it?
Well, I think you've added a ton of different questions, Trevor.
A healthy individual, 99.8% chance of not dying from it. Answer with fact and science why I need to take the vaccine.
Well, I'm not saying that you actually need to.
You said that's how we get back to normal. I think we can get back to normal another way. You did say I should.
Hold on. I would absolutely encourage folks that if they want to interact in society, if they want to travel abroad, if they want to establish that baseline that we've been working toward as a community.
If you want to travel abroad, get the baseline. This is all about the vaccine, and it's coming from every single angle. Electronic trucks, video trucks in traffic on the way to work today. I saw it. Get vaccinated. Herd immunity.
Dad. Otherwise, I think you should take the vaccine.
I need to take it. I'm asking for a reason why I need to take it. I ask you to use science and facts, and you tell me it's because I need to travel?
Well, hold on. Trevor, I'm
trying to figure it out. Okay. All right. You said based on your experiment, based on your research working for the state, you should be able to rattle off real quickly why I need to take the vaccine using science and facts.
Trevor, that's what you're saying. I reached a decision based on my familial circumstances that this was the right course.
No, actually, you said through my own independent research and consultation. Independent research, give me science and facts why I need to take the vaccine. That's a simple question to a politician, and you should be able to answer that with science and facts. Why do I need to take it?
Trevor, let's back up to what the...
Oh, you're not going to answer it. That's a simple question.
Trevor,
Senator Borges.
You're manufacturing controversy and it doesn't exist. So I'm not going to play this game, but I'm going to answer...
I'm manufacturing controversy by asking a simple question. A simple question, the same question he asked Dr. Galley back last year. What is the science, right? But I guess you ask that, you get laughed at. The reason, and you did just say it, the reason I need to take it was so I could travel.
So, Trevor, if you want to engage on this issue, and you're talking about facts and details, what exactly are you asking for?
The science, just like you asked Dr. Galley for, but I get the snicker, right?
So that's why I reached out to the governor and to Dr. Galley, the California Secretary of Health. And
why?
When I spoke with him the day before yesterday,
looking
he
for
admitted
science.
In the conversation that we do not have that data. And I just about fell out of my chair. And I said, what about all the capital investment that we've made as taxpayers into sourcing and tracing so we could better understand how the virus is being transmitted?
Yeah, well, you've done all your state work. Or what? Wait, hold on. I jotted this down here. Let's see. Science data exposed to at the state level. See, he has science and data that he's been exposed to at the state level. That's what I was asking for. But we're being told we need to get vaccinated so we'll be able to travel. It's not just coming from California Republican politicians. It's all over the media.
And so I will say, when you look at the folks that are not getting vaccinated, because it's a quarter of Americans that aren't getting vaccinated, white evangelicals, 45% say they won't get vaccinated, according to a Pew Research. Republicans, almost 50% of Republicans are refusing to get the vaccine. So we won't reach herd immunity because of those particular groups.
This is the open window of opportunity we have to stand up against this. I don't know. Maybe Republican elected officials need to talk to their constituents and see how they want them to stand up for them.
A lot of nice people in the Republican Party. But the point of a political party is not to be nice, it's to represent the interests of its voters.
That's
the only reason political parties exist in the first place. There's no other reason to have them except to represent their own voters.
Yes, and your voters don't want to be shunned. That's why the Fresno Bee was asking you, saying, what about Republican men? They're the ones that are holding up herd immunity. Do we have rights to not take an experimental vaccine, or are you going to go along? Are Republican officials, elected officials, going to go along with the national media on this?
So I say we need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated. I think if you have not been vaccinated, no entry. You want to get on a plane? You got to be vaccinated. Show proof of vaccination. And those people that don't want to get vaccinated, then that's fine. That's fine for you. But then you can't spread it to other people that are vaccinated. Then you don't get those other liberties that come with immunity.
You're manufacturing controversy and it doesn't exist. So I'm not going to play this game.
Something has to break. If that's your personal choice not to get vaccinated, you don't then get to infringe on the rights of those who have chosen to protect their fellow citizens.
If you have been vaccinated, why are you worried about being around an unvaccinated person if the vaccine works? I just can't figure out.
Don't want to get vaccinated? Then that's fine. That's fine for you. But then you can't spread it to other people that are vaccinated.
No kidding. Hello? Hey, let's pick it up again. Are you willing to come back in and let's continue this? Because the problem's going to continue. You willing to come back on and talk more about it later?
Listen, I think people should do their own research.
0.007% of Fresno County's in the hospital with COVID, and I have a 99.8% chance of not dying from it. I'm healthy. I take vitamins. I drink a gallon of water a day. I sleep good. I cook at home. I run, well, to the bathroom on occasion. But why should I take an experimental vaccine? If I refuse based on my explanation and the facts, why should I not be allowed to attend an event in public without a mask on?
You're manufacturing controversy and it doesn't exist. So I'm not going to play this game.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I'm glad they got out there and ramped up the pressure against Governor Newsom over the drought. But by golly, we're on day 411. Why could they have not? Why could they had the chairs of five San Joaquin Valley County Board of Supervisors there? Why could those Valley chairs not have teamed up? I'm looking at Brandow right there in this picture out in Clovis on Friday when they did this press conference. Senator Andreas Borges at the microphone. There's Assemblyman Patterson. I see a lot of folks. Assemblyman Mathis on here. There were some Democrats as well. Senator Anna Caballero of Salinas, she was on there declaring an emergency via letter sent to Governor Newsom. We had Senator Melissa Hurtado, Democrat of Fresno, joining Republicans, Assemblyman Vince Fong of Bakersfield, Patterson of Fresno, Devin Mathis, Visalia, joined in as well. Coming together to fight Newsom. See, they have it in them. Republicans and Democrats suddenly realizing that, what, there's a water crisis? They don't want pain to affect their constituents. Well, it was time to stand up, and that was 411 days ago, but back in August, September of last year, completely should have stood up. We're going to talk to the Sacramento County DA, Anne Marie Schubert, coming up. She's a candidate for California State Attorney General. At the bottom of the hour, 559-230-4242, 230-4242. Let's go to Neil
and Sanger. Hey, Neil. Hey, Trevor. Mr. Borges, this came down a few notches in the credibility department. I'm amazed at how big this push is. Every ad you hear on the radio is something, every ethnicity, every accent, and just telling you to get a vaccine. And most of the people that I talk to are beginning to catch on that what's in this? Why are you causing so much fear about a vaccine? You have to get it into us before we can even go outside. And then you look at a guy, Bill Gates, behind it. There's some people that are pretty worried. I think that the pushback should be huge.
It's not enough pushback, and every politician that comes out. Now, I had John Cox. He was running for governor of California, and he got the vaccine, but he said, hey, you don't need to get it if you don't want it. If you don't feel that you need it, you have that right. I can respect that, and I do respect that.
Yeah, there's hundreds of women who are having their monthly cycle dramatically impacted, doubling, tripling, two times a month. Now, if that's doing to your body as a female, I don't know how they could say there's been no studies on it when there's thousands of cases of it. So I think the ears are up on this. The politicians should get a clue.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to be on record. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the future with this. Right now, the CDC reports that 3,486 have died taking the vaccine. As we've seen around the world. I mean, it's happening, and it's experimental. But, Neil, what about when the FDA approves it? Then they'll be like, Trevor, you can't say anything. Now, look, the FDA's approved it.
Yeah, well, they can't get out of the fact that they held hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin back until they got the FDA approval on this mRNA thing. Day after that, they approved the two treatments that they had. 1,000 people in this country that should not be dead right now. And no one's taking accountability for it.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It is. Neil, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate your insight with this. Restaurants in Chicago demanding their employees take the vaccine. I spoke to a person this weekend that said their job is pressuring them to take the vaccine. And I don't know. The hesitancy is out there. And like I said, as an American, you got the right. If you're in a high-risk category, I would say, yes, go ahead. Do what you need to do. But we got a lot of people refusing to take the second shot right now. I think a lot of people have lost confidence in this. We do know here in California, I've lost confidence in the state government to keep us safe out there. She's a candidate for California State Attorney General. She's the Sacramento County District Attorney, Anne Marie Schubert. Number one lawwoman in the state, the Attorney General would be if she won it. Crime out of control. We need some sanity to return. We need some balance, and we'll get that next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Well, police departments defunded except Sacramento and Fresno. We have good DAs. Crime is skyrocketing. No bail rule puts criminals on the street. She wants to be the state's next attorney general. Welcome to the show, the first of what I hope are many discussions. Sacramento County DA, attorney general candidate Anne-Marie Schubert. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Now, before we get into all of this, the state and how you want to become attorney general, tell us how you got involved in this. Take us, like, coming out of college. How did you get involved with what you're currently doing right now? And give us a background.
Sure. So I came out of college. I went to St. Mary's in the East Bay of San Francisco, and I decided to go to law school. And I tell people, honestly, that I kind of went for the wrong reasons. I went to just be able to have a nice career when I was done. And while I was in law school, I interned in the San Francisco Superior Court, and I, as I say, got bit by this public safety bug, and I realized the value of and the critical need to be advocates within the system. And I, from there, that's all I've ever done. I decided to apply for a job as a deputy DA, and so right out of law school, that's what I've done. So it's my passion. I've never done anything else. I'm the real deal, and I'm not in it for any other reason than just to make our state safer and to advocate for crime victims and public safety.
Advocate in the system. I like that. DA Schubert, is the criminal justice system, is it need to be fixed? If so, what? And if not, why does it not need to be?
Well, as I said last week when I made my first, statement that I was going to run, I mean, the system is in chaos. I mean, anybody that works within the system, particularly, those of us that are in and out, as I say, in the trenches, what's been happening over time is this erosion of, of public safety and really the continuing demise of victims' rights and really the abandonment. So we have various laws that have happened over time. And do I think we should all have meaningful conversations about how can we, help people that have, mental illness? How can we help people with drug addiction? How can we have compassion for people? How can we give people second chances? Those are valuable conversations to have. But what we've seen, and really one of my main points that I made last week, is when we're talking about violent crime and the wholesale abandonment of victims' rights and the really ignoring of them, and the examples I've given about, people that have been devastated by the loss of their family members, and they're just being ignored. And so that, in my sense, is the chaos in the system, is that we have completely lost any sense of that balance. And if we don't get back in balance, we're going to have some serious problems in the state. And there are already some examples of that happening in places like Los Angeles, San Francisco, really where we're seeing crime spiral and victims are being ignored.
I think it's sinister. I think there are people actually excited about the chaos. So you're saying system not broken, it's the inability to enforce law and order, because as I feel, DA Schubert, is criminals are obtaining rights that have never been afforded to lawbreakers in the history of law enforcement, right? I don't know when law enforcement started, but criminals having these rights these days is just so foreign.
Well, I think, I think we've lost sight of like I said, you know, the criminal justice system and the penal code was set up so that we make everybody safe, okay? And what we're seeing now with the penal code is that we're constantly watering down the consequences. So, like, for example, in Los Angeles County, you've got a district attorney that's now just basically is just dismantling the system. Do I think there's improvements to be made? Of course there are. I've advocated for those. There's many ways we can become more efficient. We can be more balanced. But that doesn't mean that you just adopt directives or laws that, as I say, the wholesale abandonment of accountability. And we're just, you know, so in Los Angeles County, you're seeing these directives. Well, even though the voters, you know, said they don't want to end to cash bail, in LA County, they just are saying that's what they're going to do. You've got other directives that they're getting rid of enhancements. So you use a gun, we're just going to pretend like you didn't use the gun. Or if you commit, you do what's called great bodily injury. And so there's all these things that are coming out of these DAs that we're now seeing, you know, in the legislature that are just, it's shocking to me. I mean, there's a bill pending right now that says if you're doing life without the possibility of parole or you're on death row, that you can apply to get resentenced after 20 years.
Things that have never been afforded to lawbreakers in history. You're bringing up DA Gascon of L.A. Our own DA here, Lisa Smitkamp, was on talking about the attack that DAs across the state teaming together. I assume you were on that team, correct, DA Schubert, when you guys sent the letter?
I'll be on Lisa Smitkamp's team any day of the week.
Good to hear. Any effect of that, all you DAs getting together and going against him for what he's been implementing down there in Southern California?
Well, he's ignored us. I mean, he just is doing his own thing because he just, you know, maybe the people that funded him have him doing whatever he's doing. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, he's never stood in a courtroom and tried a murder case. He's never sat with a family member of a case he's prosecuting because he's never actually been a prosecutor. You know, so when you have sat with murder victim families or victims of violent crime and you understand that their lives will never be the same, you can understand a little bit better where they're coming from. But he spent more time, you know, with inmate rights groups than he has with crime victims groups. And that's just despicable to me. As you know, there's a system of justice where you have someone that defends criminals and somebody that prosecutes them. And that's a system we need both sides, you know, very good, and we want a good system. But that's not happening in Los Angeles County.
No, it's not. And what did he do with, was it witnesses that have to come forward early on? I mean, it was something with witnesses that just staggered me that a DA would implement that. I don't have it in front of me, but we know that DAs across the nation, George Soros has put in funded quite a few, and it's a movement that's really changed the mindset of law and order. My guest is DA of Sacramento, Anne Marie Schubert. She's candidate for California State Attorney General. D.A. Schubert, the inability, I hear this from sheriffs, you know, Sheriff Margaret Mims here, I hear it, inability for a judge to say jail or rehab, it's been taken away. Then we wonder why so many looking drugged out individuals sleeping in front of businesses, scaring customers away. This jail or rehab, that was a tool that worked, that's been taken away. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think one of the challenges that we have is when, you know, for instance, Prop 47, which, you know, was passed several years ago. And I think everybody can say, yeah, we understand this. We don't think we want to get help for people with drug problems. That's true. And California we have many counties that have drug courts that, you know, the design is not to put them in jail. The design is to get them treatment. But we don't have that anymore because now you get a ticket essentially for drug crimes. And so, we've continuously lost these tools. And, you know, people want to call some prosecutors, oh, you're just hardcore prosecutors, just want to put people in jail. That's really not what we want to do. We want to get people back on track. We want to get them the help they need because we don't want them to harm other people. But when you continuously take the tools away from them, from us, to say, you know, Mr. Jones, you really ought to go to drug treatment, and it takes 12 to 18 months for you to get through that program. So if you give them that choice and say, you should do it, or the other choice is that you might do, a minute in county jail, or you might pick up litter on the side of the road for a couple of days. You know, the choice tends to be pretty clear for folks. And that's unfortunate because that's not what we want. We want them to get the help they need.
Now, I know during COVID, we had a jail to prison clog up happen. I mean, I couldn't believe all the crimes that individuals were allowed to get away with. You know, you could slap your grandma, carjack an SUV, and be out by sundown. You really could over a virus. It was it's like an invisible cloud of insanity floated in unannounced. I don't think Hollywood could dream up just letting criminals out, as we saw here. But we do know that during that same time period, there was a whole defunding of police going on. I read today, and very happy to read, Sacramento officials propose record high police budget. You guys are funding the police in Sacramento.
Well, I think if you really look across this state and this country, is that everybody wants the same thing. Average folks want to be safe in their homes. And the fact is you need the police. And the communities most affected by police want the police. And they need the police because they need to be protected no matter where you live. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that Sacramento is doing that because, you know, the fact is that that's how we're able to keep people safe. And defunding the police. Yes, do we need more investments in the community? Of course we do. But we also need law enforcement to make sure that we can enforce the law and keep our citizens safe.
Now, these police reform commissions, I know our own police department here in Fresno has like 70 recommendations. What's your thought of outside civilians having an influence over this? Is there a balance we can hit there, or should it be left out and let the police handle their business?
Oh, I think there's a value from taking input from folks. I think, you know, it's all about, you know, who's on the commission, what authority do they have? Do they have, you know, subpoena powers, those kinds of things? Because it all depends on what is the, you know, is it an outcome-driven purpose, or is it really designed to provide, you know, recommendations that can be considered by law enforcement? So I think it depends on, you know, how it's set up and the structure. I'm always for improved outcomes. I mean, we should always be willing to keep an open mind and sit down and have conversations. We may not agree, but I think that you got to kind of look at the structure and what are the powers of that commission.
Yeah, and what's so frustrating is, you know, I've never been in law enforcement, never been in these situations, but how they analyze these split-second decisions, now actually putting in new rules that, you know, when to pull the trigger. And you can't, you know, this is split-second. Life and death matters. I don't think they're factoring that in enough. And we're seeing a lot of police, the frustration. We're seeing people retire early. We're seeing them, especially in a lot of these cities that did a lot of defunding. And that's sad because it's a time when we need it right now. Well, you want to be the number one law woman in the state, Attorney General's office, D.A. Schubert, online, point them in direction and know more about you. And if they want to come out the pocket to help the campaign, tell them how to do all that.
Yes. Well, you can go to schubertforag.com. You know, listen to the news. We put out stuff all the time. We put out something today about the 76,000 people that are going to get, you know, early release types of credits. Learn about the candidates. Actually study who they are.
Wait. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Back up there. 76,000 released what?
Oh, it came out last Friday that corrections is going to enhance credits for people. So 76,000 inmates that are currently incarcerated are going to have the benefit of these emergency, well, I'm not sure how they get to emergency, but emergency regulations that are going to give them more credits while they're in. Doesn't mean they're all getting out now, but it means that starting as of Saturday, you know, someone that, you know, rapes an unconscious person and goes to prison is going to earn potentially 50% off their sentence by sitting in prison and not misbehaving. So that's something that people should be aware of. And many of us that are in this business are very concerned about the process that was undertaken to do this. It's just, again, more opportunities to let thousands and thousands of more people out earlier than they otherwise would have been, and when the judge told them how much time they were supposed to serve.
D.A. Schubert, thank you for your time. Look forward to more discussions as this campaign for California State Attorney General keeps moving ahead. Thank you for your time. Keep up the good fight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll be talking more in the future. I have this audio here. It's a TikTok video, and it was a black police officer, and somebody put a little music in the background. But listen to him, how tired he is of all of this.
I wake up every morning and kiss my family goodbye.
knowing that there's a possibility I won't come home. I am tired of every time I wake up in the morning, there's someone else polarizing the fact that maybe law enforcement is just not a good thing. All of us are not bad. I am not as they are. Most of us are not. There are bad people in every career. I'm so tired, tired, tired.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I played you the TikTok video of the black police officer. Wasn't that sad how tired he is? Alyssa Mulatto. Oh, we know Alyssa, don't we?
I'm premenopausal and I am angry.
Oh, yeah. She went online. Alyssa Mulatto did, saying that she, you know, trying to put herself in the shoes of a black man in America. And our fellow black American woman saw this and put up her response video, and I thought it was classic.
For those of us who are not black men, imagine watching the news and seeing how people...
Imagine being a black man and being told by some white lady with a microphone that you and the criminal on TV are one and the same because you look alike. Imagine being told by society that white people can be all that they can be, but you as a black man, the content of your character is completely irrelevant. You are the color of your skin and that is all you will ever be. Imagine being told you can't figure out how to vote because of the color of your skin. Socioeconomics affects everyone, but apparently you're not as smart as the poorest white person. Lady, I don't want to hate you. I'm a 90s kid. I grew up with you, so I know you're very talented. I understand your heart is in the right place, but you are everything you preach against. You're not helping. You're making things worse. You're causing more division. You're causing more fear. Statistically speaking, I am more likely to be shot and killed by my black elderly neighbor across the street than the cop who patrols my neighborhood. Statistically speaking, homicide by cop is very rare, but people like you find power in fear, so you keep it front page news. You don't have to be a white supremacist. You can be better.
For those of us who are not black men, imagine watching the news.
Defund the police movement. Well, Sacramento right now is going to get its highest police budget on record. They're going to be a set shy of $165 million, as we've seen. And, you know, evil's always going to exist. We're going to need law enforcement. A free society that actually gives evil the opening to exist. We need law enforcement. And these elected officials that have, you know, corrupted the people by trying to, you know, keep up the narrative that police officers wake up every morning with their finger on the trigger, no matter what color they are, and they're going to go out and look for a young black male that does not have a gun to shoot. It's not true. The facts and the stats back that up. So next time you're in a voting booth, consider seriously how badly many of these elected officials have done their jobs. When you pick a new candidate, you know, when you're getting rid of members of the swamp, many are in disguise, as we have seen. You know, they truly believe they're untouchable. And we got to band together. We got to clean house. Our Constitution's going to end up in the a trash pile, a heap of history. We got to not allow our lives to be completely taken over. And that's what's happening, sitting right here as we watch. I gave Senator Andreas Borges a lot of credit for standing up to Sacramento's top doc, Dr. Galley, back in, this was last year, toward the end of the year. Here's some audio from Borges from December 4th on the show.
So that's why I reached out to the governor and to Dr. Galley, the California Secretary of Health. And when I spoke with him the day before yesterday, he admitted in the conversation that we do not have that data. And I just about fell out of my chair. And I said, what about all the capital investment that we've made as taxpayers into sourcing and tracing so we could better understand how the virus is being transmitted, also as a means of keeping our economy open and using smart ways of looking after public health and safety, but also looking after the economic welfare of our state?
Mm-hmm. He was wanting the data, wanting the science. He had the freedom, the ability, the constitutional right to ask the Sacramento doctor for the stats, the science behind why restaurants were shut down, why livelihoods were killed, while his constituents were going hungry, didn't have paychecks. Last Friday he was on the show. It started good, and then It went a little headbuttish.
Trevor, it's great to be back on the show.
Why do I need to take it?
Well, I think you've added a ton of different questions, Trevor.
A healthy individual, 99.8% chance of not dying from it. Answer with fact and science why I need to take the vaccine.
You're manufacturing controversy and it doesn't exist. So I'm not going to play this game.
Not going to play the game. Well, you were on offense playing the game of Galley asking it. Offense scores points. On defense, you had to defend. I was looking for some science. It's actually a real simple question.
So, Trevor, if you want to engage on this issue and you're talking about facts and details, what exactly are you asking for?
Well, I asked the science behind the vaccination and why I need to take it. The push is on. And I'm telling you right now, if you think that it's not going to be two different societies.
And so I will say, when you look at the folks that are not getting vaccinated, because it's a quarter of Americans that aren't getting vaccinated, white evangelicals, 45% say they won't get vaccinated, according to a Pew Research.
Ah, white evangelicals. Okay.
So I say we need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated. I think if you have not been vaccinated, no entry. You want to get on a plane, you got to be vaccinated. Show proof of vaccination. And those people that don't want to get vaccinated, then that's fine. That's fine for you.
You just can't live a life.
You're manufacturing controversy and it doesn't exist. So I'm not going to play this game.
Okay, we're not going to play a game either. It's called another interview. Next election. Thanks to Agent Squires. God willing, back tomorrow at 3. Girardi next. Good evening.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.